There are things out there. Creatures, monsters, ghouls and spirits. Beings that fall outside the realm of visible truth, beyond the confines of our basic reality. They lurk in the dark, haunt the recesses of our minds, and stir our curiosity in the unusual and weird. They are taboo topics, stories that we tell around the campfire and folklore passed down from our ancestors. We've been taught that these things don't exist, that they are merely myth and legend. Or are they? Welcome to the Occult Archives. I'm your host and spooky librarian, E.M. Moon, but feel free to refer to me as E. Here lies a space beyond all spaces, a library full of arcane information enough to drive any normal person mad. If you can think of it, if you can question it, the archives probably have what you seek. The greatest delight which the fields and woods minister is the suggestion of an occult relation. Ralph Waldo Emerson. I'm just going to ease back into things with this one. I know I have been broadcasting for some time and then just magically disappeared for over 2 years. But I'm back at it and figure that those who had been listening intently and those who are new to the podcast may be curious about the history, look, and feel for the archives. Sometimes I just need a place to talk about the strange, odd, and creepy, as well as my writing in an informal way, and possibly a few other things that tie into the subject matter of these dense walls. The library itself is something I have wanted to talk about, obviously, since I started doing the podcast. When you can't leave a place like this, or don't want to, even if you could at this point, it can get rather lonely, and maybe I don't want to keep all of this stuff to myself anymore, you know? The subjects of these tomes are still taboo, but with the way the past 4 years have gone, maybe now is the time to normalize what people classify as the occult, and see that maybe it isn't as fantastical as we think. It's all around us. We can practically touch it, but we have become so desensitized to what we call fantasy and fiction. Science and speculation, theories on what these things really are, have pushed these subjects into obscurity, claiming them to be nothing but fictitious nonsense and made-up whimsy. But there is always a kernel of truth in what we call fiction. Even still, I have to be careful when I talk about these things, about naming names and giving away locations to places. But I feel that it is my duty to educate, entertain, and cure boredom in these trying times, while simultaneously getting to know those of you on the outside, and maybe learning about some myths and legends that we've missed or forgotten about altogether. I'm sure you want to know more about the archives, so let's get into it. I don't think I can give you an exact date of when the archives was established, but if you ask anyone who may have heard about it through the grapevine, they will tell you various dates or famous periods in time, but they are all wrong. The archives are eternal. I don't have a date of foundation breaking or ribbon cutting ceremony when we opened our doors because, as far as the average person knew, this place didn't exist. And as far as you know now, it doesn't really exist either, and everything I am telling you could easily be made up or pulled from the internet. But it isn't that simple. The archives is aware of these stories before they even happen. Before the general populace ever catches wind of it, the archives already knows and has it documented, filed, and put away. It's always been this way. I'm sure some of you who are listening are wondering where the archives is located, because people love libraries, right? Especially creepy, liminal, ancient ones. But I can't tell you. No, I haven't sworn a blood oath or anything. I just can't tell you because I don't know. I'm just here. In this space between spaces, inside walls that may or may not be tangible, but it's all I know. I come from a long line of occult librarians, and if you asked any one of them where the archives are exactly, you'd get the same response and probably an exaggerated shrug for effect. It simultaneously exists and doesn't exist, kind of like Schrodinger's cat or that imaginary friend you had when you were five. But back to the long line of occult librarians thing. It's one of those positions you were born into, a birthright, and I happened to get that privilege. Granted, at first, I wasn't happy about it because who really wants to be stuffed away in the musty halls of a most certainly haunted library? But you come to like it after a while. Sort of. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love being the keeper of the totality of occult knowledge, but like I said, it can get a bit lonely. They allowed me to have one pet to keep me company, so I chose a hellhound because what could be better protection and companionship than a fire-breathing, lava-eating, sulfur-breathed pup from Hades? But I digress. Back to the lineage. The lineage of occult librarians isn't inherited as part of some bloodline, so to speak. My mother's mother's mother or father's sister's cousin's aunt weren't occult librarians. As far as I know, I'm the only one in my family, at least immediate. No, the lineage is carried down through lives. What the hell does that mean? It means at one point, years and years ago, I was the librarian of the archives. And before that point in time, I was the librarian of the archives. I've been a librarian quite a few times. There were seven of us originally, back when the archives came into existence, seven beings that were tasked with protecting and maintaining the archives. Eventually, all seven passed, but were reborn at various times in history to take care of the archives itself. Sometimes they were all reborn at the same time. Sometimes they were all alone for a whole life. I seem to be alone in this one. But it's not all bad. I have my hellhound, I have plenty of books, and recently we got access to the internet, so I figured it was time to share the knowledge that we have with the general populace. Now is a time when people are really into that, apparently. I'm not really supposed to show my face. Yeah, I know you think you saw it, but we will touch on that at a later time. And I figured a podcast was the way to go. So, here I am. But anyway, you're probably wondering what the archives grounds look like. Maybe? Because as one of those spaces between spaces, there isn't much in the way of permanence unless you give it permanence. And since I am in total care of the archives at this point in existence, I've tried to nail things down, so to speak. The building itself sits on a vast swath of flat land with natural grasses, and for the most part, it's always dark, a full moon looming overhead. The archives building is surrounded by lush forests and rolling hills that go on for miles and miles into oblivion. I don't even know if it ever ends. To the east is the Forest of Wolves, but there are much more in the way of creatures than just wolves in there, although most of them could potentially eat you in one bite or swallow you whole. You don't see much in the way of these creatures, save for maybe the werewolf that gets into the Moon Garden, as they tend to keep to themselves, but stepping into their hallowed woods is never a good idea unless you are armed to the teeth and carrying a sufficient amount of seared steaks. They like just a bit of crunch when they bite into it. The west is the swamps. They don't have a name for fear that if you name it, it becomes sentient. And the Bog of Banishment, which is exactly how it sounds, though I haven't looked into who was banished there or why. More monsters reside here, but you don't ever see them coming, though you can hear them slithering up next to you. It is recommended that you don't enter the swamps unless it absolutely cannot be helped, because there's something about the natural gases in a decaying environment that can get you all turned around and disoriented. The archives did provide me with a gas mask, however, just in case. To the north, way north, is another forest that doesn't quite sit in the same space as the archives land. To get there, you follow the path from the gardens, walk until you can't walk anymore, and there you'll find a tree so large it almost dwarfs the sun, if we had an actual sun. Enter the knot in the hollow trunk and you find yourself in the North Wood, another world and dimension entirely. I haven't been there yet myself, but I've been warned about the Bone Pixie invasion and have taken the proper precautions. Lastly, to the south is what I assume to be an ocean, though it's unlike anyone I've ever seen. The waters are almost plum-colored and the sands of the beach are black as night, though the waves have this inviting glow about them that tells me it isn't safe to enter. There are stories of massive beasts living below the waves, one in particular being some sort of serpent that can be occasionally seen blocking out the moon all the way from the archives. I'm not sure if you can sail the waters here, and I'm not so sure I want to find out. More research is needed. I guess this brings us back to the archives building and the grounds itself. The structure that houses the entirety of occult and paranormal knowledge doesn't seem like it could hold all that knowledge, as its size is hardly indicative of that. Don't get me wrong, the archives is not small or dainty by any means, but it's been constructed in such a way that makes it less noticeable to things that may pass by. It has an old Victorian feel on the facade, with its wraparound porch, turrets, and large windows, darkly painted in gray, royal purple, and black. The entire structure is bordered by large hedges and an iron fence with a giant double gate in the front. There are torches that line the property, tall and stoic, so as to light up the darkness in the surrounding area and ward away many a violent and terrible creature, or just so you can garden at night. Speaking of gardens, there are quite a few on the property, Out back facing the North Woods is a sprawling cryptid topiary garden complete with old world fountain, an ancient unknown tree growing straight from its middle. This tree in particular sports various fruits throughout the year depending on the season, although they are fruits that probably shouldn't be eaten unless the guidebook has specifically outlined that they are safe for consumption. A hedge maze runs to the west and culminates in the moon garden at the edge of the Forest of Wolves. Here is where I generally leave steaks as polite offerings, asking the wolves not to eat me instead. The other side nearest the swamp is the Garden of Baneful Poisons, which is secured and gated separately from the rest of the property. It's dangerous to walk around in there unprotected unless you're wearing a full suit of magical armor that I have yet to make work for me, but there's still time. Amongst these landmarks is a plethora of trees, flowers, and shrubs that all have their specific occult purpose besides providing shade on the hotter days or food for the bees. Yes, we have bees here too, but they are much larger. There is also a gazebo in the topiary garden where tea is held every Saturday evening, not by myself, but by the Occult Archives Ladies Auxiliary, which was disbanded in 1892, yet they keep showing up every weekend to play old maid and gossip. They don't seem to like me much, so I steer clear. Oh, and the pond near the west, just on the other side of the Garden of Baneful Poisons, is inhabited by some sort of tentacled beast that creeps from the water on the new moon to hunt for small animals or snatch bats from the sky as they fly by. Even so, it tends to wave one suction-cupped arm whenever I pass by, and something tells me that it wasn't always this way. I think maybe it's lonely, too. Am I forgetting anything? If so, I can just cover it later. But let's enter the archives. Come inside, won't you? Mind the painting on the wall there. I think I've mentioned it before, but this blasted painting is the most annoying, irritating, overwhelming... I digress. He's a pain in the ass. I'm not even sure of his name, and just refer to him as Mr. A for asshole, since he loves to give me grief about referring to myself as E. From what I've gathered, he's one of the founding fathers of the archives, and his presence is integral to holding the whole place up, so I just plug my ears and try to ignore him as much as possible. Moving on. After we make our way through the hall, you see the rich mahogany L-shaped front desk where I spend half my day waiting to check books in or out. We don't exactly get a lot of library card-carrying folks in here, but I have to be prepared in case they do appear. Across from the desk is about 10 rows of floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, neatly packed with our fiction section. These are books from authors such as Stephen King, Neil Gaiman, Margaret Atwood, Bram Stoker, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, etc. We used to have books by a few other famous fiction writers, but they were all mysteriously pulled from the shelves when it came to light what bigots they were. I'm sure you know who I'm referring to. Anyway, across from that is a comfortable seating area with worn plush chairs from bygone eras and a table to set your belongings on while you read a book or wait on me to find a certain tome or file for your checkout pleasure. If you need a snack or something to drink, the bar is set next to the waiting area, usually attended by one of our many resident ghosts, though they're never on time and appear whenever they feel like it, so help yourself. Now, if you turned left when you came in the front door, it would lead you down a long open hallway that begins with the grand gilded Art Deco elevator. This would take us to the lower levels, but we'll get to that in a minute. Further down the hall, the space opens up to the right and into the public part of the occult archives. The books here are a fair bit newer than those housed below, but the information is just as good and pertinent if you are looking to do a research paper, a scientific study, or are just curious about the hidden and the unseen. These particular books can be checked out with an Occult Archives library card, but we only allow one out at a time. It makes keeping track of them easier. At the end of this section of the library, closest to the west side of the building, is a dimly lit room with stained glass doors that contain one dinosaur of a computer, think Macintosh in the 80s, and a compact row of microfiche readers. We keep it a bit old school here, mostly because we hadn't figured out how to even get internet until recently, all the way out wherever it is that we are. Of course, we have access to it now, but it's spotty at best on a good day. Bathrooms are on the other side of this room, gender neutral, of course. We get all sorts of folks in here from time to time. And a vacant frame of a painting, one of many in the building that Mr. A likes to slip in and out of because he doesn't just trust me to do my job. Back up the hall and watch your step. Sometimes the books don't like to stay in place on the shelves and flutter about low to the floor. Don't ask me why, because I haven't the slightest idea. Also, there is this pesky issue of the creeping vines that cover the walls almost everywhere you look, and they seem to have a mind of their own, so don't stand in one position too long. Always keep moving. Our next venture on this tour is back at the elevator that I pointed out on our way over here. Why do we need an elevator, you ask? This place only has two floors. We haven't gotten to the top floor, but that's mostly because it's my private space. Well, the archives has many floors, most of which you can't see or even know exist unless you need them to. I'm only going to be taking you to the floor that is used the most, and the one that I'm allowed to show you. And down we go. This area is only accessible to the public upon request and appointment. Due to the highly sensitive material on this floor, we have to properly vet anyone that comes down this way. There are plenty of meeting rooms on this level, and we have several organizations, cults, and religious groups that rent out the space from time to time for their secret events. But it's quite the rigorous process to even get accepted and cleared for that sort of thing. If we turn left off the elevator and head east, we're in my little nook of the archives. This section is where I broadcast from when I record the podcast. For some reason, the internet is better on this level than any other, which doesn't make a lick of sense to me since this is a deeply subterranean level, but it may have something to do with the way alternate worlds are sandwiched together in space-time, and somehow we're just closer to Earth's reality on this end. I don't know. The books here in particular are some of the oldest, or at least the oldest that I'm allowed to touch, and generally my go-to for research purposes when I write up a podcast script. Between the totality of occult knowledge and the totality of the internet, I can pretty much find anything. My setup here for recording and broadcasting isn't fancy, but it's usually quiet and comfortable, unless I'm having to deal with sneaky vampires that enter through the sewer system, or the poltergeist on the other end of this hall, or whatever is conjured while those secret meetings transpire. But like I said, it's pretty homey. The west end of this level is something I actually haven't seen yet. I don't know what's over there, except for the fact that it is pitch black and calls to you from the darkness. I just try to ignore it when I have to pass to use the bathroom, but sometimes it has me so intrigued that I just have to... But I don't. Nope, they trained me better than that. Or at least that's what I've been telling myself. Eventually I'll get the balls to check it all out once I clear things with Mr. A. There's another vacant frame down here next to the elevator, so I'm always within shouting distance of him. But until then, I try to keep my distance. We can head back up to the main floor, as I think I've shown you quite enough for one evening. Why don't you come back later and visit? Maybe then we'll have you vetted to the point where we can explore more mysterious areas of the archives together. I'll just walk you to the door, but please do be careful on your walk home. And always make sure to look over your shoulder, because you never know when something might be following you. Honestly, maybe you should take one of the torches at the end of the drive, just in case. Please be safe. I can't wait till you come back to visit.